Are you thinking about starting a business? Does your business need a loan or investors? Are you ready to grow and succeed? Then you need to call Sterling Rose Consulting Corp. Call Sterling Rose Consulting Corp at 470-238-9097 for more information or to schedule your free business consultation.
And welcome to Strategic Insights Radio, brought to you by Sterling Rose Consulting Corp. Sterling Rose Consulting Corp is a full-service business consulting firm with three divisions: business consulting, marketing consulting, and strategic business technology consulting. Today, we're honored to have both the founder and CEO of Sterling Rose Consulting Corp, Jennifer Roos, and the vice president of strategic technology, as well as co-host of Strategic Insights Radio, David Wilkins. Jennifer has a long career working for both corporations and as an entrepreneur. She began her career after college in the 90s in market intelligence, business operations, and management for companies such as MidAmerica Research, Fact in Focus, Lucent Technologies, Kyocera Wireless, ARS Current Analysis, and WebSense Software Solutions before starting her first company in 2004. She has since been a business consultant and now founder and CEO of Sterling Rose Consulting Corp. David comes to Sterling Rose Consulting Corp from a long and distinguished business and entrepreneurial career, working with companies such as Whitridge Associates, IBM, EY, and PricewaterhouseCoopers. David is now the Senior Vice President and head of the newest division within Sterling Rose Consulting Corp, the Strategic Technology Consulting Division. Today's show is going to be about the entrepreneurship versus corporate life and about the struggles of owning your own business, both on a professional and a personal level.
Thank you, Mike, and thank you, Jennifer, and welcome back to the show. Last broadcast, that show went really, really fast, and we only covered just the top. So let's continue with, it was a great conversation, and I think there was a lot of good points that came out that people can use. So let's start with explaining in detail what each of the divisions really provides to our clients.
Sure. So the first division, which is where we started our business, was the business consulting division. Within there, we do business plan creation review. We do operational planning. We do feasibility studies for everything from proof of concept for a business, also to feasibility for redevelopment projects as well. We also do cash flow analysis, financial projections. And underneath the business plan side, we actually do multiple kinds of business plans. So everything from SBA, startup, growth, commercial loan, commercial lease, M&A, and also traditional lending and investment. So we do up to a Series B. So Series A and Series B, that includes bridge and mezzanine. And then we also do business consulting itself. So we become that soundboard to help with risk mitigation for clients. And that's on the business consulting side. We do by project basis, or we can do it by hourly too. And then on the marketing side, we do strategic and tactical marketing plans. And then we can do full marketing implementation services and marketing consulting services. That includes market research and competitive intelligence. And then our final division, which is your division, is the strategic technology division and our newest division within the organization, which we do outsource CIO and CTO service. We do the actual strategic integration planning and looking at overall the entire business as a whole. And then we also do in their custom ERP and CRM solutions, as well as maintaining and increasing those. We are true full service business consulting. So there are other pieces that we do within that we don't advertise very often. We can do bookkeeping. We can do financial projection. We can do the cash flow analysis. We can do the payroll services. We can literally provide you everything you need to run your business and help you grow and succeed.
Especially when you were talking about the business planning side of it, there was a long list of different types of plans and different opportunities there. How would somebody know exactly where they could use the help, where they need to start? Obviously, somebody who's just really getting started, needs a startup plan. But for some of the other ones, where would that come in their life cycle of their business?
Well, the first thing I tell any client, anybody coming to us, is don't just try to choose. I mean, we sit down. The first thing we do is we talk to you. We do an hour of consulting to figure out what you actually need and if we're going to work well together. So at the end of the day, you've got to be comfortable working with us, and we've got to be comfortable working with you, because this is a very collaborative process, right? Especially business consulting. The person that we're dealing with has to be open to our ideas. And if right from the get-go, they don't like each other, it's just not going to work. So the first thing we do before we make any kind of arrangements to work together is literally sit down and find out about each other's business and find out what it is you actually need. Now, as far as where the life cycle of the business plans go, you've got that SBA business plan, right? An SBA ready business plan, every small business thinks that they qualify for SBA. They don't. Most startups do not qualify for SBA. You have to have a revenue generating business with collateral generally that's been around for at least 2 years to qualify for an SBA loan. And you don't, if you are not for profit, you will not qualify for an SBA loan. So that's something that you have to understand. On the commercial side, I mean, any startup can go for commercial, but again, you need to have good credit plus the business plan and projections. That makes sense. On the M&A side, obviously that's on the higher end, right? That's when you're ready to merge or an acquisition and you're trying to acquire someone and or relinquish your business to someone. That's where that comes into play. Then there's the immigration visa business plans. Now we do L1, L2, and E2, E5, more E2, E5. And that's for foreign entities coming in and creating businesses within here, trying to get immigration status by having a business within the United States. And we work directly with your immigration attorneys to make that happen. And we have a very, very strong success rate with that particular product. The same with our SBA business plans. We have a very strong product there. In addition, we also do growth plans. I mean, when you've started now your business, right? You're come to the table, you've got your retail space, you've got your location, or you don't need a location. You have your customers coming in, and now you're at that growth arena. And is it, you have to understand if it's controlled growth or not. You have to be able to maintain and provide to your clients what you are offering them, right? You have to live up to that expectation. And at what point can't you do that anymore? Do you even know? That's where we come in. Are you even going after the right clients? That's going to be what you're going to find out within those plans. Commercial lease, commercial loan, you always want to get that business plan done, and you want to look for money when you don't need money yet. So you're revenue generating, you actually are at the point where you feel a little bit comfortable, but you're ready to expand. Before you get to that expansion point where you're now in debt again, and it's not going to be easy to get the loan, look at getting it, look at getting that investment before you need to get it. And that's where we would say on the life cycle of your business, you need that plan again.
Yeah, that's like the old story you hear that banks are really willing to lend you money when you really don't need it.
Correct. But you will eventually need it, especially if you're looking to expand.
Right, right. And it's knowing when is the right time
Correct.
To do that. That's the key, and that's what we can help clients do.
And within each of our business plans, so it's a package deal, right? So we do the business plans, but we also include 5 hours of consulting with every plan. And we also include up to 2 revisions of each plan before completion. So during that period of time, we do go through everything with you. And we walk you through where in the life cycle you should be.
Yeah, so it's not just a document that is just, in effect, completed and thrown over the transom, as it were, and says, good luck.
No. And we're around afterwards. I mean, as I said, we do business consulting after the fact to make sure that you're maintaining the status of the plan. If things change within the socioeconomic things change, financial things change, personal things change, we can help you remodel the business to make it work.
You know, you mentioned, you know, as you're going through and describing that, a little bit about the type of customer, if you will, or client. And, you know, is there an ideal client for Sterling Rose?
Yeah, I do have an ideal client, and it's not a size of a company and it's not a type of a company. Okay, I've worked with everyone from the dog walker next door all the way up to major sized corporations that are in the billions of dollars. The reality is the perfect customer for Sterling Rose is one who is open to collaboration, consulting, and new ideas, and willing to implement those ideas, the decision makers who can do those. That's the customer that we deal with. Because again, if you're hiring a consultant, you're hiring it because you need that collaboration and you're looking for some new ideas. If you are at a point within your organization and you're doing it because someone told you and you are doing it and you're not going to be implementing anything, then there's really no point in you hiring us or working with us.
All right. Because it's all about the ultimate success is the growth.
Correct.
And if you're not willing to stick your neck out a little bit and change to make that growth happen, it's pretty futile.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same for any entrepreneur, though. I mean, to be a true entrepreneur, you can't be risk adverse. I mean, one of the riskiest things in the world is start your own business, right? You are getting rid of all of that safety money, that consistency that you have before. You no longer get health insurance. You no longer get that paycheck every week. You don't know if you have a client coming in. So there's a lot of risk involved. And you cannot be risk adverse. And with that, you have to be open to change. You can't be so stuck on something. And that's the right decision because there are 100 other opportunities out there. So don't be closed in. And what's nice about working with any consulting firm, not just necessarily Sterling Rose, but any consulting firm out there, right, is that you're talking to experts in all different fields who have an outside view looking in on your business. And that gives a whole different perspective because part of running your business and part of being the head of your business and being the standpoint behind your product, the issue is that that's just it. Your whole focus is your product. And once you get in your head that one specific market or you think that you get your own idea of what the product is being used for, how it's viewed, you don't necessarily realize that the customer might not see it that way at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So having that outside view can open up opportunities for you.
Oh, yeah, because I remember many times doing consulting and thinking with a client in a particular industry and then thinking of another client in a totally separate industry, not anywhere related, and thinking, you know, the solution that we came up with for them could apply to this new client very nicely. And it's totally outside their, you know, outside the box in terms of what they've been doing. You know, one of the things that you mentioned there is the risk averseness. Mm-hmm. And it seems that you know, there's a lot of that these days in business. And, you know, a lot of business managers, senior executives are fairly really risk averse because, again, a lot of the things, you know, the economy is there's a lot of fear, uncertainty, and doubt in the economy. But in my mind, that seemed like that's a great opportunity from organizations who really want to change to take the risk and go forward.
It does open up a lot of opportunities because if you're willing to take that risk and not necessarily be first in the market or second in the market, but make a change and make a niche for yourself and or just get a splash out there about you, you have that opportunity. I mean, there is a risk. There's always a risk involved. And we'll be honest about those risks. And we'll help you figure out how to mitigate those risks so that it doesn't tank you. But you've got to be willing to take the plunge. You can't wait it out and hope for the best because you only have a window of opportunity, right? And it's not usually a very large window where you can make that splash. So it's figuring out where it is and with whom you should be making the splash. Who's the right target market for you? What does that consist of? Everything from the demographics, the size, the location, the psychographics, the life cycle of the client. I mean, what do they actually look at? What do they pay attention to? How do they perceive the market? How do they perceive your product, your company, you? And figuring all that out and going after that client, you only have that period of time to get their intention. Because other things come up, other products get launched, holidays come up.
That's right.
You know, so you only have, you know, there are specific times that things have to happen.
Right.
To be successful.
Exactly. Where are the majority of Sterling Rose's clients located?
That's a fun question. Actually, we do business in total 37 countries, including the United States right now. I'm hoping to increase that. But at the moment, that's where we actually do business in all of those countries. All over the world. From Singapore to, I'd say we do about 30% of our business international, 50% of our business here in the United States, and another 20% here located in Georgia. And we're hoping to increase that number in Georgia since that's where we're located.
Yeah, that's a pretty impressive record. And how did that all, how do you account for such a broad span of customer base.
We did a heavy online promotion initially, bidding services. In addition, once we got into certain companies within Asia, Europe, and South America, our reputation spread throughout the country. So we ended up gaining clients through referral basis. And then in the United States, the same thing. We started through bidding services, going after specific contracts. And then the next thing we know, we have a ton of referrals from those different clients, from immigration attorneys to investment banks to regular banks, as well as overall businesses as a total.
Okay. So it sounds like actually some, when you think about it from a consulting firm perspective, there's some innovative ways that we've gone about developing the customer base that, again, is something can reflect in how we work with our clients.
Well, I mean, one of the really crazy things that we did, and I thought was a good idea to do from the start, was Business Radio X, right? Doing the show, Strategic mm-hmm. Insights Radio, that helped broaden our scope on through digital media, right? It gave us that presence and able to showcase the expertise that we have within our organization. So that was one of the things that we put in place early on. We have heavy social media. We have actually offline guerrilla marketing campaigning. We do sponsorships. We do a lot of networking events. We do speaking engagements. We've won a number of awards for what we've been capable of doing as far as the actual documentation and our client relations. So, I mean, I'm the proponent, right? I've been doing marketing for a very long time throughout almost my entire career. And one of the things that kills me is buzzwords, right?
Mm-hmm.
I hate buzzwords. Buzzwords drive me nuts because when I talk to a client, they're like, we have to do this. Well, no, you don't, because you're not going after that client. They're never going to pay attention to that. I'm in the old guise of it has to be a multi-tiered approach. And that's what I've done with Sterling Rose. We have looked at all different ways of doing business, right? Because our clients range across all different facets of life, about different stages of business. And what I'm a proponent of with my clients too is explaining that understand your clients and understand what they pay attention to, and then service yourself across those different levels. So if it takes guerrilla marketing, do guerrilla marketing. If it takes networking, do networking, sponsorship, media relations, public relations, investor relations, community outreach. You know, what's important to you and what's important to the company and to your client. And that's what I think I've done with Sterling Rose. And hopefully, I believe I've done it effectively. But, you know, I want to continue to do that to make sure that we reach out to the right people and that we're providing a service to our customers. Whatever we do in our marketing, I've always made it informational and service-based because we are a consulting firm. That's what we, you know, it should be. We should be giving a value add to our customers and to our potential customers. And that's what I want to portray. I want to portray the expertise that we bring to that table.
So we really practice what we preach in that regard.
Yes, very much so. Well, I'll tell any customer, right? Anybody that asks me a question or asks me for even a partner or vendor, right? If they want a reference from me, a referral to do business with somebody, I will not give you a referral to someone I have not done business with already. I want to make sure the quality that you're provided as a customer or client is on par with what we provide as a company. So the last thing I'm going to do is give you a bad opportunity.
Just following up on that, you know, there's a lot of entrepreneurs out there listening to the show. And do you have any advice on how they can better market their companies, you know, particularly to build a stronger brand recognition?
Yes. There are all little different ways to do heavy branding on a company to get that recognizable brand out there, right? Even as a small business, there are just little tiny things that you can do. One is there's color recognition. I know it sounds funny, but people actually associate colors with specific things, right? Look at a Tiffany's box. You see that color, you see that box, you know it's Tiffany's. For us, it's a Sterling Rose, literally.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lavender purple color. And it's funny because even my staff, we buy ties for the men in the color. And the women wear that color shirt when they go out. It's a brand you recognize when you look at it. It's just simple little things. So that color coordination, that branding on your t-shirt, that signage that you have, You want to make sure through all of your social media, all of the collateral that you have, everything has your brand prominently placed within it. That the symbol of your company is within all of those things. Okay. So making sure that that is one little thing. Other thing is, yes, you need to have a website that's functional. It is the day and age. It needs to be mobile. Another thing is if you can get some YouTube commercials or you can get some kind of video out there, Facebook video, YouTube videos. I mean, it's important right now that video imagery scores better on Google. It just does. You need to get that out there. It also provides an opportunity for people to get to know you better and your company and product better because they can physically see it and hear you and understand your passion behind it. Be passionate, understand your, and make sure your pitch is solid, by the way. One basic, one major thing that'll affect your business in total is understanding how to talk about your company. If your pitch is not solid and it's unrecognizable to people, people just don't understand it when you say it, then work on it. It needs to be solid. You need to have that 5 second, your 30 second, your 15 second, your 90 second. You need to be able to portray that passion behind your company and be able to keep it simple and understandable and explain that value add of what you're providing to that client, right? If you can't hit a pain point within the first 5 seconds, you're going to lose that client. Be able to address why they need to have your product or service. And the other thing I can say is when you're going into a meeting, know who your client is. I mean, I've walked into so many meetings where it's just so funny because, you know, and there's a joke with my cards, my business cards. And because I'm an entrepreneur, I did this and it was meant as a joke. Depending on which card you pick up, it has a different title. Literally, there are some cards that if you pick up, it says I'm a janitor. It says everything from janitor to CEO. And I walked into a situation where I was actually with another person within my company who had honestly, they were just marketing manager, right? It was me and on mine, I think it just said consultant at that point. And this person was trying to pitch to my company, right? And they were pitching directly to the other person and ignoring me because they thought they were the manager. And the irony of that after it was all done, and I mean, he was actually rude about the way he was pitching. My manager comes to me and says, well, what do you think? Because I'm the one who's going to make the decision. So really know who your customer is, what they provide. Don't try to pitch them something they already provide. That's not going to be good.
Right.
And then don't waste their time. And also, I don't care if you're the secretary at the table or you are the CEO. Do not be rude to anybody at that table because you truly don't know who you're pitching to necessarily.
And who actually is involved in that decision-making process.
Correct.
Right.
So, I mean, those are kind of things you want to watch out for.
Great. What made you make the transition from your corporate world to the entrepreneurship and then ultimately now Sterling Rose?
Well, my parents would tell you I was nuts.
Isn't that true for all entrepreneurs? Yeah.
I had a really nice salary job. I mean, I made really good money. And I was in a stable position in my life. I lived in a really nice area. And I was with a company that was growing at the time. A friend of mine, ironically from 10 years earlier, had called me up and said, had this crazy idea. Why don't you quit everything and come on board with me and we're going to start a company together? And I actually said yes. To this day, I'm not sure how that came about, but I actually said yes. And I quit. I gave my 2 weeks notice and I walked away from this cushy position. And that's how I ended up out of corporate and started my first company. I learned a great deal in that company. I mean, it was an amazing opportunity and we expanded and we built the company up. We got a lot of press around this. We built a new technology out there, went through rounds of funding. I mean, I had the opportunity to, from ground up, personnel funding, financial, I mean, the whole gamut of it. And it was a crazy experience. And it was one that I'm very happy I've had. My move to Sterling Rose, I was a consultant. After I left that, I consulted on a number of projects for years. And then again, my husband and I were looking for something to do together. And this brought our two capabilities together. And it was a really nice marriage of those two types of expertise. And that's where Sterling Rose came about. It was something for the both of us to do together so that we could work together.
I've heard you say on more than one occasion that there is a myth and a reality to entrepreneurship. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Sure. The myth of entrepreneurship. Everybody's ideal. I don't have a boss anymore. I can work my own hours. I have all this freedom. Yeah, you're right. You do. You are free now to work 24/7. You are free to be the person that if something goes wrong, you're it. If something goes right, you're it. You are free to work for everybody now. Literally, you no longer have one boss. You have 100 bosses.
Every customer.
Every customer becomes your boss. To an extent, you still have to have some things on there. Also, the myth of it, you have this great product and people are going to come automatically and just go get it. Or this great service and I'm going to put a shingle out there. I'm going to put that website up and I'm going to wait for them to come. This is not Field of Dreams, people. They are not, you do not build it and they will come. Okay? You need to get out there and you need to be the face. You need to, if you have trouble speaking to people, find somebody in your organization that you can put as a facing point. If you go to Toastmasters, learn how to pitch. Get consultants. You are not going to know everything. Nobody does. I'll be the first to tell you, I definitely don't know everybody. That's why I surround myself with people who do know those other pieces of the expertise that I just don't have. Know that you need that outside help because as an entrepreneur, the reality is you don't know everything and you can't handle everything and you're always going to be short of cash. Make the right decisions. Go out there and figure, especially at the beginning. Hopefully going forward, you're not in that situation. But at the beginning, it's always going to be tight, but you still have to put money into it to make it grow. You are not going to literally, again, feel the dreams, not reality.
So it's really balancing the if you will, the ego of and the pride of ownership and authorship, as it were, versus the humility of recognizing that you can't do everything.
Entrepreneurship is funny, right? Because it's understanding that aspect, right? But also understanding that you are the end all be all at the same time. It's having this weird side-by-side situation where you are it. You are the decision maker. You are the one coming up with this idea. You're the creator of the product. You run the business. You're going to make those decisions. You are never going to have all of the answers for those decisions. At best, if you are lucky, you'll get 65% of enough information to make a decision and then hope for the best and then fix it after it's over. That's being the boss. That's being the head, the CEO, and understanding that. That you have to make those snap decisions. And sometimes they're going to be right and sometimes they're going to be wrong. And if they are wrong, brush it off, fix it, and then move on. Nothing is always going to be perfect and you can't have an ego and you can't be afraid to have a customer who doesn't like you. You can't be afraid to have a bad situation. Do yourself a favor too and do not stew. Do not wait to respond to somebody. Just respond to them. Sometimes it's as simple as just making a phone call and it alleviates the issue, right? And on the good side of it too, don't embellish about your company. Don't overdo anything, right? You want to be factual about what you can provide. You want to meet those expectations. And truly, you want to exceed those expectations. You want to say you can do something, but you want to be able to do it better than even that. That's going to help you grow. And the reality of that is understanding that kind of crazy, again, I like to use the term roller coaster ride, right? You're up and down all the time on this. And that's what you have to get used to, that ride. You're going to fail a lot. You're going to succeed a lot. And you've got to be okay with both.
You know, with all that, and I think one of the other risks that an entrepreneur has that they can get totally consumed by the business. And how have you been able to do that, balancing out, you know, the whole, the work side with other activities, you know, a life as it were.
Sometimes I'm good at that. Sometimes I'm bad at that. Just like any other entrepreneur. At the very beginning, you get wrapped into it. At the beginning, you tell yourself, I'm just going to spend this amount of time and I'm just going to do this and I'm going to cut it off here. And then you find yourself at 2 o'clock in the morning, still responding to emails to people. What I do try to do and what I do now is actually in my business schedule, I actually block out time for myself. Like I block out time to go to the gym. I actually block out time and I get involved in other community events that I want to. So I joined, you know, I got chosen to be in Northwind's symphonic band. So I actually perform in an orchestra.
What do you play?
For that one, I actually play trumpet. Ironically, I'm second and third trumpet right now. Just had my first performance. I do ballroom dancing. So I do things that get me out that I enjoy doing. And it keeps me away from thinking about work for just a few minutes. I spend time with my husband. You know, I travel when I can. I actually have to be strategic about that. I have to pick times when there's vacations around and I don't have a lot of customers so that I can actually... One of my things for traveling, I find places that I have to shut my phone off and I don't turn my internet on. You need to get out for a little while and you need to take that step away. As good as the business is going or as bad as the business is going, to help your own perspective, you need to take a break every once in a while. One of the things I have instituted though is that we open our doors at 9 o'clock in the morning and we close them technically at 8 o'clock at night. And we only work on the weekends by consultation only, right? You have to set that beforehand. So that's kind of where I've set parameters. I set parameters for me. I've set parameters for my staff so that I can have that life outside of work.
Great. Well, now let's talk the future. What's the future for Sterling Rose and any interesting things that are, in the works?
Yeah, actually, there's quite a few pretty interesting things happening with Sterling Rose. So when we first set up the company, it was always our intention to turn it into a franchise or licensing business. We are launching that program in 2017. So it will be the initiation of that licensing program and we are moving forward with it. We actually have a couple people who are interested in becoming our first licensees. Second big thing is that we are acquiring our biggest competitor this year and we're making the announcement and we'll be having him on the show. Going forward, that's going to enhance kind of what we can provide on that business consulting side of the business. We are also going to be moving into some new YouTube commercials, couple a quarter. Also going to be launching a Comcast commercial, a new Strategic Insights Radio website, a new licensing website, and we'll be doing some more aggressive advertising overall on the public relations side.
So no resting on the laurels in this place.
No. I intend to do some aggressive growth this year. Controlled aggressive growth, but aggressive growth. I think that, you know, we are at that point. We're coming up to our third anniversary this year. And we have seen growth. We've seen controlled growth up to this point. It's been a little bit on the more conservative side. But now we have the infrastructure in place. We have the operational structure in place. And we have the personnel to actually take this to the next level.
Well, that's great. Well, that you know, this has been a real pleasure going, you know, having this conversation. I think it certainly has helped, I'm sure, a lot of people understanding a little bit more about entrepreneurship and a little bit more about Sterling Rose and a little bit more about Jennifer.
All right. Well, great job. Thank you, Jennifer. And thank you, Dave. Want to let everybody know again that this has been Strategic Insights Radio discussing entrepreneurship versus corporate life and what it means to be a business owner. For more information about Sterling Rose Consulting Corp. or the Strategic Technology Consulting Division of Sterling Rose Consulting Corp., you can contact Sterling Rose Consulting Corp. at 470-202-8659 or visit their website, sterlingrosconsultingcorp.com.